Okay, we're going to have a workshop today about relationships. And I'm not going to be as nice as Mac. If I see any of you sleeping, I know enough of your names that I can call on you and ask you a question. So you have to stay awake. Because this is really important. Not that what I have to say is so important, but the Word of God about relationships is so important. And I was really excited, actually, when we were asked to share on this workshop, because Mac and I have great sympathy for you dear young people growing up in the society and the culture that you are. Hopefully, some of the things we can tell that we want to tell you will be helpful to you. Now, we don't pretend at all to have gone through all the experiences that Solomon went through. I'm going to explain that in just a second. But some of the conclusions that Solomon came to, not you, Solomon in the Bible, some of the conclusions he came to, I believe the Lord is bringing Mac and I to some of these same conclusions, and hopefully you also. You know, Solomon tried almost everything the world had to offer. He really used the things the Lord blessed him with, I would say, in a very self-serving, lustful way. You think of all the wisdom that Solomon had, all the pleasures that he allowed himself to be brought into, the accomplishments, the popularity, the wealth. And I cannot imagine how this man survived 700 wives. 700 wives, can you imagine? Princesses and 300 concubines. And the Bible says these wives turned his heart away from the Lord. Now, I believe Solomon's heart was already turned away from the Lord before he entered into these relationships with these women, because it was written that the kings should not marry outside of the Jewish nation, outside of the children of Israel. So he did this for his own advantage. But if you look at the end of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We do thank the Lord. We believe Solomon did repent, because he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 8, this is the conclusion that that great preacher Solomon came to. He said, "Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity." And what was the conclusion of all that Solomon experienced, and what conclusion did he come to? Down in verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now remember, try to keep in mind all that Solomon experienced. But thank God, at the end, he came to this conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. So the conclusion is fear God and keep his commandments, for this is your birthright. This is your birthright as a child of God. Now, I want to just say one thing about Solomon saying, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity." Now, it doesn't mean we cannot enjoy the things the Lord gives us. as I said, Solomon used the things the Lord gave him for himself, for his own advantage. But God gives us all things to enjoy under the government of the Holy Spirit. There's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. But outside of the Lord, it's vanity of vanities. Okay, what I'd like to do today is I'm going to share with you a testimony of my own life. Then I want to share some things with you. And then we want to have some open discussion. So let's pray. Lord, I just praise you and worship you for these dear, precious young people, young adults. I thank you that this holiday weekend they have chosen the better thing, to come away with you and to be set apart unto you for this weekend, to hear your word and to be strengthened in you to live in this society and in this culture for the will and purpose of God. And now, Lord, as we talk about this very important topic, relationships, dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour out your anointing upon us. Lord, we need you. I need you to anoint me to share. We need you to anoint the brothers and sisters to listen and to be helped, and to be their hearts to be drawn to you. And we're very grateful that we could step into that anointing by faith this afternoon. And we thank you are with us. We thank you are that very present help to us right now. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name. Now I'd like to read to you a verse from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. This is our Lord's answer to a scribe who came and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And it's Mark, chapter 12, verse 29 and verse 30. So Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Praise the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, as you choose to enter into this verse by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, all the bases of your life will be covered. Your spirit, your soul, and your body will be protected, because God wants your whole being to be set apart completely unto Him, preserved without any defilement, not just your body, but your spirit, your soul, and your body. And if this is your priority, loving the Lord, your God, in this way, then the choices you make regarding relationships will be honoring to the Lord and will be beneficial to you spiritually and physically as well. Our attitude should be, I'm not going to get involved in this relationship, this friendship, with this unbeliever, or even with this nominal Christian, because I love God more than I love this person. Getting involved with this person will distract me from my relationship with the Lord. It's really a statement declaring your love for the Lord when you make that choice. And as Mac has shared, these things are not easy. These decisions are not easy for us to make. But it's a choice that you have to make. Now, I need to say that even if you allow this verse to be the basis of your decision-making process about your relationships, it doesn't mean that the relationships you choose that are healthy, that they won't be challenging, or that you won't rub with each other. Like Max shared this morning, being built together is the most difficult thing in our lives because it requires the cross working in our life. But if your goal and the goals of the people you're choosing to have a relationship with is the fulfillment of this verse, then you can work through these things and your relationship with the Lord and with one another can be stronger. So I want to share a testimony with you of how the Lord rescued me from unhealthy relationships and activities, and in His grace and mercy put me on a path of life. When I was a youth, when I was in middle school and high school, I hate to tell you when it was, it was in the late 60s and early 70s. And this was, don't you laugh. And this was during the time of the Vietnam War. I'm sure you've heard about the Vietnam War. There was much unrest, particularly among the young people in the U.S. And there's always been rebellion. I mean, from the very beginning, that was Lucifer's main choice. It was a rebellion. So there's always been rebellion, but it was like rebellion just broke out among the young people, particularly in the U.S. And you remember, that's when the "I'm for peace, I'm not for war." That was the big slogan, peace. And this, during this time, the hippie movement was introduced. And unfortunately, I got involved in the hippie movement. Characteristics of the hippie movement were long hair, tie-dye t-shirts, bell-bottom jeans, bare feet, drugs of all kinds, alcohol, free love. You know, the hippie movement, you were the love people. Love, love, love. No war, just love. It was really a terrible time, and so many people died from drug overdoses. So many people died from diseases that were sexually transmitted. It was just a really terrible time looking back. But one great thing came out of the hippie movement. The Jesus people. You familiar with the Jesus people during the late 60s, early 70s? That was a really exciting time because it was like a new move of the Lord, a new move of the Holy Spirit. And He really got a hold of many so-called hippies, and they became known as the Jesus people. Well, I grew up in a small town. The high school I attended was very small. And my mother and father, they were Christians, but they were very strict and very legalistic, as well as was the church that I attended. All the youth leaders, the pastors and all were very legalistic, very hard on themselves and in particular the young people. You don't do this, you don't do that. I remember I did become a believer, probably out of fear, But I did become a believer, and I had a tender heart toward the Lord, and I was baptized. And I remember I had this one youth group leader. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but he was so kind to the youth. He tried to be so understanding and give us help and real guidance in our lives. And I just really appreciated that so very much. But in our home life and in our church life, there was very little encouragement, very little affirmation, very little nurturing love. It was more the law put on us. It was just very heavy. And that has an effect upon a kid, upon a young person. And it did affect me a lot. So I couldn't wait to graduate from high school and get away from my home and my hometown. I remember I used to pray at night, Lord, get me out of this place. And he did. He got me out of that place. But I got into something even worse. So after I graduated from high school, I went to a larger city. It was about 4 hours away from the little town where I grew up. But it was still a small city. Many young people would go to these huge cities, and they would get culture shock growing up in such a small little town in the mountains. And then you go to these big cities, I didn't want to do that. Lord, don't let me go to these big cities and get culture shock and come back here. So I went to this smaller city, and I went to a business school. And I met some other young girls my age, and we got an apartment, and I worked part-time. And I had my own apartment. I had my own money. And man, life was great. Aha! I'm free from my parents. I'm free from my church leaders. I can be cool. I can do what I want to do when I want to do it. It was great. But was it great? There were no cell phones then, so your parents couldn't check on you every hour and find out what you were doing, and you didn't have to check in with them every hour and tell them what you were doing. So I thought I had it made. Now I can find love, I can find acceptance in my newfound freedom and my new friends who were escaping similar situations. So we're all a real happy group together, real good influence on each other. So I got involved with this hippie movement. I got involved with unhealthy relationships and activities. And of course, they were all unbelievers, thinking I was free. But you know what? I had the Holy Spirit in me. I was a believer. I had the Holy Spirit in me. And God was watching out over all this stuff. His cords of love were right there, pulling me in, reining me in. Praise the Lord. A big wake-up call for me was I was at my so-called boyfriend's apartment with some other people, with some other friends, and there was a sleep sofa in the living area of this apartment. And in the sleep sofa, the mattress had been taken out, and inside that that sofa were bags of marijuana. I don't know how familiar you are with that. You would have nickel bags, which was $5 bags. You had dime bags, quarter bags. It went all the way up. So this was full of bags of marijuana. And it came to me. If the police came in here and raided this place and discovered this marijuana, although I didn't have anything to do with this, and of course, like, they're going to believe me. Here I am with all this going on. I had nothing to do with this. Yeah, right. So I would have been arrested along with these other people. And my life would have been ruined with drug possession on my record and jail time. Talk about wake-up call. And that's just one example of many unhealthy, unwise situations I allowed myself to get into. But long story short, believe me, a long story short, I knew I had to move away from the city. The Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I wish I'd listened to the Holy Spirit before this, but I didn't. But now, He had my attention. So I knew I had to get away from these unhealthy relationships and activities. I needed to make a clean break. So I relocated to another city. And there's been no further contact with those people. I haven't talked to them since I left that city. And I've often wondered if any of them ever abandoned their lives to the Lord. I wish I knew, but I don't have any way of getting in touch with them. But I've often wondered if any of them came to their senses and abandoned their lives to the Lord, as by His grace I had. Now, the Lord did rescue me, brothers and sisters. I am very, very grateful. But I had to cooperate. That's really key. That's really vital. The Lord didn't get me into those relationships. I got myself into those relationships. And He wasn't holding me in those relationships. The Holy Spirit was pricking at my heart all the time, but I didn't listen. But finally, I did. And grace was available for me to flee. You know, in 2 Timothy, it says, and Mac will probably touch on this some, but in 2 Timothy, the Word of God tells us, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. And by God's grace, I did this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Don't even go there. Flee it as fast as you can. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So by God's grace, I did flee. It wasn't too late, but wouldn't it have been wonderful if I hadn't gone there to begin with? And I have to say, I was exposed. The things I was exposed to and the experiences I allowed myself to get into affected me for a long time. Yes, I repented. My sins were forgiven. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. But some of the things I allowed myself to get into and got involved with were very hurtful and they were very harmful. And I had flashbacks. I couldn't get them out of my mind for a long time. Once we repent, our sins are forgiven. But brothers and sisters, the consequences of sin can be for a long time. In the city I relocated, guess what happened? Just guess. Come on, just guess. The city I relocated in, guess what happened? Yes! Yay! The Lord brought Mac and I together, and praise God, we've been serving the Lord together for 35 years. Now, Mac has his own story. But our relationship, Mac and I, it hasn't been without difficulties, remember? Just because you want to love the Lord, you want to serve the Lord, and you're with someone who wants to serve the Lord, doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties. But you work through them, and hopefully you decrease, and the Lord increases. Now, brothers and sisters, I shared this with you because it doesn't have to be that way for you. You don't have to allow yourselves to be pulled into things, into these kinds of situations that will be very hurtful and very harmful to you and that take you time to get over. You can be spared from going down that path of destruction. It isn't glamorous to have this kind of testimony. how much more glamorous it is and how much more honoring to the Lord if you allow him to keep you from going down a path of destruction at all and getting involved in unhealthy relationships and unhealthy activities to begin with. So, flee temptation. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 10. And this is a good verse for you to memorize, as well as the one in 2 Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. See, I didn't act on this verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I do pray for you that you will not allow yourselves to get involved in these things, that you'll take that way of escape immediately. By the grace of God, I finally came to my senses. You know, it's like that prodigal son. He finally came to his senses. I finally came to my senses and fled the horrible situation I was in. But again, how much better it would have been for me if I'd have done it earlier. But with the Lord, you know what I'm trying to say. Okay? Relationships are probably the most important issue in your life, primarily your relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your relationship with the Lord, whether it's strong or weak, will have a tremendous impact, a tremendous effect on all your other relationships. It really will. So how much better it is for you to have a solid relationship with the Lord. All of your other relationships can be based on that. Now, in the Bible, in addition to our personal relationship with the Lord, many other types of relationships are described. Husband-wife relationships, parent-child relationships, brothers and sisters in a family and in the family of God, teacher-student, employee-employer, male-female, relationships, friendships with the same gender, and so forth. Now, these can either be healthy or they can be unhealthy. Again, always goes back to it depends on your relationship with the Lord, how you relate to your parents, how you relate to your teachers, how you relate to your employer, how you relate to your brothers and sisters in your family and in the body of Christ. But God's Word tells us how we should and shouldn't conduct ourselves in these relationships. Did you know God created you and me? He actually built into us a desire, not just a desire, but a need for relationships, for fellowship, for friendship. He never intended for us to live alone. Actually, this is really the very character and nature of God. God, the God of the universe, doesn't want to be without fellowship. That's the reason he created us. He wanted to have fellowship with us. If you go back and look in the beginning of the Bible, God would walk among the garden and he would meet the man he created to have fellowship with him. I think that's so cool. And even after God created man, the male part, he said, "It is not good for this man to be alone. So I will make him a helper comparable to him." So God knew that this man, the male part, needed a companionship. Being friends with the animals was not going to satisfy. You know, it's nice having a little doggy. It's nice having a little cat. But that just doesn't cut it. You got to have your like. Someone that you can have true fellowship, that you can talk to, and they'll talk back to you. So God created Eve, someone Adam could have fellowship with, friendship with, that would be very fulfilling for each of them. But now, brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, that relationship wasn't just for Adam and Eve to be satisfied. Adam and Eve were to serve the purpose of God as a family. So often we get, into thinking marriage, male, female, is just for me. And it's going to satisfy me. All my needs are going to get met. Do you know the Lord brings couples together, families together? Yes, to find fulfillment and enjoyment. But the main reason is to serve the purpose of God. And I have to tell you, no other human being can satisfy you. Yes, God wants you to have fellowship, relationship, but the only person that can truly satisfy you is the Lord Himself. That was a big thing I had to learn in my marriage. It's beyond him, beyond any man or any woman, to completely satisfy the other. Only God can satisfy the longing of your heart. And just to say again, yes, he does give you relationships, friendships, companionships. But ultimately, only God will satisfy you. So learn to enjoy the Lord now, even before he may bring you someone that you may spend the rest of your earthly life together with. Learn to serve the Lord now. Learn to enjoy him, because you're going to have to anyway. But because God has given us this need and this desire for relationship, for friendship, we want to love. We want to show love to other people, and we want to be loved. But it has to be under the government of the Holy Spirit, or we'll get messed up. And this need goes beyond, you all are old enough to know, it goes beyond a parent-child relationship. But I want to tell you how important it is for you to have a good relationship with your parents, to have good communication with your parents. It's just so wonderful to grow up in homes and families where you're loved, where you're nurtured, where you're disciplined and taught the ways of the Lord. At the moment, that may not seem like fun, but it's wonderful. Even the discipline is with purpose and it's with meaning. You need discipline. I need discipline. It's part of love. This really gives you a sense of safety and security. And many young people in the world, and even in the Christian world, do not grow up in a Christian family, in a home like this. They're not privileged to have this kind of home environment, which is having a tremendous destructive impact on our society. I'm sure you have met friends that come from broken homes in your school or universities or work. The parents are divorced, and whatever parent they happen to be living with have live-in partners. How horrible for a kid. And the kids are tossed back and forth between the parents. How sad. How sad that this is the society we're in now. Families, they grow up in families with alcoholism and drug abuse. Even both parents working. That's difficult at times. Look what's happened. Both parents are working to make more money so they can give their parents more things, that are left home alone, open to every kind of temptation there is. It's love a little warped there, isn't it? These destructive home relationships really impact a person's perception. They make an impact on your emotional life, your just your whole psyche. So having a good home life is a great blessing, because if you don't, you can start looking for love and acceptance in all the wrong places, like I did. There was an old worldly song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Some of you older ones may remember that, but anyway, you know where love is. It's in the Lord Jesus. You know where acceptance is. It's in the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about the older ones, the parents. But it's natural. It's so natural to desire to relate and to have communication with others. Don't you remember as a kid how much fun it was to play with other kids? It was not fun to play alone, even though you fought over the stuff you were playing with. It was still more fun to play with another kid. And as you grew, it was normal to want relationships with the same gender. You know, I have best friends, best pals in school, and do stuff together, whatever you might particularly enjoy doing. And I don't think you really outgrow this desire to have friends with the same gender. I mean, Mac and I, by God's grace, have a good relationship. But I still really enjoy and need relationships with my sisters in Christ. You know, girls like to talk. And it's, guys, you know, what'd you say? You know, it's just not that same heart-to-heart stuff sometimes. So girls, we need each other so we can talk and share all of our things together, and hopefully you guys will come around someday. But anyway, you don't outgrow, like, you know, wanting to go off with the guys and shoot some basketball or whatever you do, play hockey, I guess. But then, as you get older, guess what? Get awakened to girls. The girls get awakened to the guys. And you start wanting male-female relationships. Now, probably nobody in here has ever thought about that except for Peter. But anyway, you do. You just start noticing the opposite sex. And it's normal. Do you know today in our society that many, I forgot the percentage, I looked it up, many middle school, now I might be saying some things that might make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, but that's okay. You're old enough, you can take it. But many middle school kids and high school kids, let alone university kids, I mean, universities are just something else. These kids are already involved in unhealthy relationships of the same gender and the opposite sex. Many middle school, high school kids are already very sexually active. They're in unhealthy relationships with alcohol, drug abuse, sexual activity. Satan worship is becoming very popular. And it often just begins with liking that goth look that pulls you in. You know, I like black. I love black. I have black on. But, you know, we have to be careful of some of these things, brothers and sisters. We really do. I mean, everything is worldly. I wear earrings. I wear some lipstick. All these things are, I mean, they're the world. But we have to be careful what we allow ourselves to get pulled into. Unfortunately, gay-lesbian relationships are in the picture. It's more public than ever. Canada, about 2 years ago or so, already said it's okay to have gay marriages. You know that Massachusetts and the U.S., and just recently California, says it's okay to have gay marriages. So you're faced with that. At school, in the workplace, universities, everywhere, it's in our face now, isn't it? It's not just boy-girl, male-female things. It's everything, every kind of perversion we're faced with. Pornography is available. the internet is, it's just incredible how much is available to you today. My little niece had this little friend for years, and I actually have been a little bit concerned for her because she plays basketball, and her mother, my sister, and I played basketball. We were really good basketball players, so my little niece is such a good basketball player. She inherited it from us. But anyway, I get concerned about her because, you know, in the sports arena, these kinds of relationships are pretty prevalent. And I pray for her a lot, being exposed to so many other girls. Well, she had this little friend and for a number of years, and she really liked this kid as a little girlfriend. And she approached her to have a lesbian relationship. Well, that just, was really upset her so much. So it's everywhere. My little niece is in high school. She's a junior in high school. So anyway, you young people are growing up in a predominantly post-Judeo-Christian culture. In the past, when I was a kid, I mean, moral standards were so different. They were more based on the Bible than they are today. Society is no longer influenced by the moral standards of the Bible. We're living in the post-Judeo-Christian culture. Principles are derived mainly from the secular humanism, which means man is at the center of everything. The me generation, me. The me culture, the me society. What feels good to you, do it. What you want to do, do it. You're okay, I'm okay, just don't bother me. I'll just do what I want to do. And it makes relationships for you and for younger kids very confusing. It's such a moral relative society. It's actually an amoral society, isn't it? Okay. So this is what we're faced with. And it's even worse. We've been kind of mild in describing things. So what voices are speaking into your lives? Is it your unbelieving peers? Is it your nominal Christian friends? Is it the educational system that's so liberal, that's so humanistic, non-Christian standards? You can't even mention Jesus, God. I think you can mention God, but anyway. TV, I just think TV is incredible. It is just unbelievable. The advertisements. Do you know every advertisement almost you see? The whatever product it is, they use sex to sell their product. It's incredible. Movies. What movie can you kids go see? You young adults, what movie is there that you would want to sit there and watch? The internet, you drive down the highway, the billboards, the clothing industry. You know, it's almost like society has made sex as an idol. It's made our human bodies as some kind of idol that we're supposed to worship and give it everything it wants. And you know, behind all these things is the enemy's voice, which is speaking to you and me so loudly, so forcibly, trying to pull you into these things. Pull you in and turn your heart, your tender sweetheart, away from the Lord. And it makes it sound so good. It makes it sound so rational. It makes it look so harmless, like it's normal. There's a book out now. Oh, But what are you going to do about it? What are you and I going to do about this? Are we just going to allow ourselves to be brainwashed concerning these things? You know how you get brainwashed? Like in wartime, one of the tactics they use, they just keep feeding your mind with their propaganda, with what they want you to hear. They just keep feeding it in, and then finally you believe it. Well, that's what the enemy's doing to us today. And everything we're faced with, he's just feeding us this stuff, trying to get us to buy into it and believe it. There's a book out now, Mac and I have it, and we read, it's called Marketing of Evil. And this brother is trying to educate Christians that the enemy is using the world to try to seduce our minds into accepting sin and evil as normal. All the sitcoms and everything try to make you think it's normal for, I'll say, high school kids to be sexually active. It's normal. I don't want to get into all the things. We know what they are. But are we going to allow these things to brainwash us, young people, young adults? Are you allowing yourself to be brainwashed? Are you going to allow the world standards to be so imposed upon you that it ends up being very hurtful, damaging, and destructive to you spiritually, psychologically, as well as physically? Even the religious world, Christianity in general, is allowing itself to be polluted by the world standards. The influence of the world is impacting the church at large, with the acceptance of sin and a tolerance of sin. Do you know there's this new tolerance? Don't be too radical about sin. Don't be so radical about the Christian life. Be tolerant. Love, 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 love. Well, it's not the Bible I read. I have a brother that is gay, and he's lived with his partner for about 15 years or so. And we finally had to, we never did allow my brother and his partner to come to our home, just my brother. And in recent months, my brother has tried to get us to accept his partner as that they're a couple and that they should be able to come to family functions, and if we invite my brother, his partner can come, and yada yada. And we had to take a stand and say, no, that's not the way it's going to be. Well, my brother is mad at us. He will not speak to us anymore. And he's found this church, I won't say what denomination, to go to, and he sent us this letter. Now, this is what he told us about this church he goes to. My church and the body of Christ have been a great source of comfort and love to me and his partner's name. I truly do not know what I would do without them and my love of God and seeking his purpose for my life. That's what my brother wrote to us. Bless his heart, he's so deceived. Somehow he's allowed these people that have this new tolerance, this new attitude of tolerance, to make him think this is okay. Well, it's not okay. It's in the Bible. Have you ever stopped and thought as just some helpful examples in the Bible? Did you know the Lord Jesus had friends? He had relationships. He had friendships. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about our Lord, our precious Lord, when his life upon earth, he had friends, relationships during his earthly ministry? Of course, we know the Lord is always a friend of sinners, but I'm talking about relationships. think of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You know, the Lord came unto his own, but his own received him not. Jerusalem was supposed to be the city that upheld the Lord's name, that upheld the Lord's testimony, and they rejected him. He could not find relationships in Jerusalem, but he found relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And what comfort he found in their home. What relationship they had in doing the Lord's work, the Lord's ministry, his earthly ministry. When he didn't find friendship and companionship in Jerusalem, the city which was to bear his name, he found comfort and relationships and friendship in their homes. Think of Peter, think of his disciples, particularly Peter, James, and John. Now we know what happened to them, but they still had a relationship. He took them with him on the most intimate things he wanted to do, the most, what would you call them, like to the Garden of Gethsemane and to the Mount of Transfiguration, and when he raised that little girl from the dead. This was relationship. It was all about serving the purpose of God. Think of those women in Luke 8. Chapter 3, you can look at it later, that helped serve and meet the practical needs of the Lord Jesus and his disciples as they moved from city to city. What relationship, what friendships. Think of the women at the tomb that wanted to take the spices and all to the Lord, for the Lord's body, and then later the men came. Relationships that were healthy, that were wholesome, that served the purpose of God. And you know, they were people the world didn't give high esteem to. Ones that knew who the Lord was and really cared for him and loved him for who he was. These are the kinds of relationships we should pursue. And it's just showing us the character and the nature of our Lord as the Son of Man. He needed friendships and relationships in a hostile environment. You know, we're living in the world, and to us as the Lord's people, we live in a hostile environment. You need friends that can help you and strengthen you in the things of the Lord. You need relationships like this. Think of Paul, all the relationships Paul had, brothers and sisters, working together to serve the purpose of God. Have you ever noticed at the end of the epistles how he says, tell so-and-so this, and my fellow worker, and he talks about Priscilla and Aquila who risked their lives for him, and he really, especially, at the, I think it's Romans 16, read that sometime and see the relationships Paul had with brothers and sisters. There's such a help and such a comfort to Paul in his earthly ministry. Think about these things. We don't read the Bible. We read it with, I don't know, sometimes rose-colored glasses or something. And we don't see these things that help us and instruct us and show us how we should relate to our brothers and sisters. But, you know, the Lord Jesus didn't allow himself to feel to be down and depressed, that the people in Jerusalem, the so-called popular people, didn't want him as a friend, in a relationship. But I find, maybe not so much now, when we think about a relationship and our desire and a need for a relationship, do you ever find your cool factor kicks in? You know what I mean? You want to have relationships and friendships with the cool people. Well, like, I want you guys to think I'm cool as an older person. She's a cool older person. You know, we don't deny it. You like to be cool, and you want to hang around with the cool people. Makes us feel good. You want to be popular. You want to be accepted. You want to be with the in crowd, even among Christians. There's so many cliques among, when we travel around, we visit brothers and sisters in various places, particularly among you young people. There are some cliques. So you need to be careful about these things and ask the Lord to help you overcome it and learn from the examples of our Lord Jesus and learn from the example of the Apostle Paul. What kind of friendships and relationships you want to establish. All right, so what are we going to do? All right, we have some of these things we've talked about. What are you going to do? What standard are you going to allow to control your life? What are you and I basing your decision-making process on regarding relationships? Are you basing it on the world standard? And you know what the world standard is because it's in your face all the time, and we've already just talked about it a little bit. Or are you going to base your relationships on the Lord's standard? Do you even know what the Lord's standard is really in your heart? Do you even know what the Lord's standard is? We just mentioned a few about our Lord's friends and Paul's friends. Now, brothers and sisters, you have to decide what relationships you're going to allow into your life. You can't blame your circumstances. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your church. You're at the age of accountability, and you are the one that has to decide. And I have a feeling most of you need to listen to your parents, and you need to listen to your older brothers and sisters. And not only that, you have the Bible. You have access to the Bible, and you need to read it and discover what the Lord's standard is. You read other books. You read other things. Why not read the most important book you'll ever put in your hands and discover the Lord's standard and the Lord's ways and how much He loves you, how much He wants you to have healthy, wholesome relationships. We need to have a right perspective of the world. Do you have a right perspective of the world? Do I? We've already said the world's perspective is me. Me. What's in it for me? Selfish desires, self-love. It's like a mirage. Do you know what a mirage is? It's an image of reality that's false. It's never satisfying, never fulfilling. Have you experienced that yet? You know, you get what you think you want, be it a new piece of for your computer, be it a new iPod, be it a new dress, be it whatever, a new car. You think it's going to really pump you up. Well, you get it, and it's like, huh, is this all there is? And then you have to go on to something else, if that's the route you're going. And you get that something else, and you start all over again. It's sort of like if you're in a desert, you think you see an oasis down there. So you get down there, and there's no oasis. It was just a mirage. So you have to keep going and keep going until you find it. Well, that's what the world's like. It's so cruel. It's such a hard taskmaster. And from God's word, we know the world is under the sway of the evil one, trying to get us to buy into its lies, the deceptions that we've already talked about. And the enemy is always misrepresenting God to us. If I could just get that girl, if I could just do this, if I could just do that, God won't let me have it. Well, that's not true. You know, the world will chew you up, it'll destroy you, and then it will spit you out to leave you on your own. It's cruel, just absolutely cruel. So what's the Lord's perspective? What's His perspective of you and for you? Do you have a right perspective of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and your Heavenly Father and the Bible? That's a lot. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother, our Heavenly Father, and the Word of God. Do you know that the Bible is a love letter to you? And do you know who it's from? Do you know who this Bible is from? It's a love letter that's written to you. It's from God, the Creator of the universe, your Heavenly Father. Do you know that? Is it that real, that personal to you? And our Heavenly Father, out of the love for you, gives us instructions and guidelines regarding relationships for a reason. He loves you and me, and He wants to protect us from getting hurt emotionally and physically. His love for you and for me is for our best interest. Do you believe that? It's not to make you miserable. It's not to make you suffer and be depressed and downcast and keep us from having fun and enjoyment. The Lord wants to spare you and me from pain and heartache. As a young person, do you often see the Bible as just a bunch of rules? You know, usually we think of rules. Rules are there to be broken. Do you just see the Bible as a bunch of rules that you need to be broken so that you can have fun? This one gets me. Maybe it's because I'm older and I have discovered that I find the Lord fun. I find the Lord such an adventure. And, you know, kids today are so restless. They want an adventure. They can't be still 5 seconds. But I have discovered the Lord is such an adventure. And I have never had more fun in all my life as I have since I started walking with the Lord back in my early 20s. It's kind of like, well, we go to youth conference this weekend because our parents made us go. But after we go to the youth conference, then we can go have fun. Well, why can't you have fun at the youth conference? You're here with the Lord. You're here with your brothers and sisters in Christ. This should be fun. We should be able to enjoy ourselves here. What is fun to you? What is enjoyment to you? We really need the Lord to help us with these things. Do you recognize that sin, that unhealthy relationships, that certain activities are forbidden because they're harmful to you, because they're hurtful to you, and they'll rob you of the blessings God has for you? That's why He says, do not sin. Do not go there. Flee temptation. It's because it causes you to miss out on the blessings that God has for you. Now, you do need to know how to relate to your own gender. You do in a right way. You need to know how to relate to the opposite sex in a godly, healthy way. Now, how many of you are still in high school in here? So a few of you. How many of you are at universities? So a few, okay. And, of course, the rest of you are working. So, for example, when you're in high school or at university, what are you going to do when you have projects that you have to complete? And these projects, they usually assign you a team. You're on a team. And on this team, they're male and female. And definitely at universities, a lot of times, you're assigned projects and you're on these teams that are male and female. And at work, the workplace is full of male and female. How are you going to relate to the same gender as well as the opposite sex? Again, I'm sorry to say this, but you know, when you're on these projects or at the workplace or whatever, and you're with both male and female, you know the enemy wants to activate your hormones. He wants to activate your flirtatious ways. He wants to get you in this seduce you into these kinds of behavior that are ungodly, that are too low for you to get involved in. So you have to watch out for these things. Not only that, but just relating with people in a kind way. Do you get jealous of someone at work? Do you get jealous of someone on your project team because they might know something you don't know? It's amazing to me how cruel we are to one another. Particularly kids today are so cruel to each other. Are you willing to show forth the love of Christ, the kindness of Christ, and relate to your gender as well as the opposite sex in a godly way? The Bible is so wonderful to instruct us how to relate appropriately to our peers, male and female. And, you know, it's just not enough, guys, to keep the bad stuff out. You know, the brainwashing, the feeding your mind with all this stuff. But you got to put the good stuff in. You've got to get in the habit, and hopefully you are, of reading the Word, filling your mind with the Word of God, asking Him to strengthen you as you're faced with these situations and circumstances that you're faced with. You know, in Psalm 119, you could just write this down and look at it. Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man or woman cleanse their way? By taking heed according to your word. There's another one, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you're with a member of the opposite sex. You know, it says in the Sermon on the Mount that if it uses a guy because guys are affected by sight. It says, if a man even looks at a woman and desires her, how are you going to keep these thoughts from taking a nest in your root in your mind and acting on that? You know, our imaginations can go wild by putting the word in your mind, and when that thought comes, you can say, no, I'm not going there. Girls, sisters, how are you going to not buy that shirt that, you know what I'm talking about, that you think looks good and that might attract that male? How are you going to say no to that and dress modestly? By filling your mind with the Word of God and knowing that you should not be a stumbling block to your brothers. How are you going to know and have the strength to not succumb to that temptation? By knowing what the Word of God says and having it right there.